Hey everyone, we're back with another episode of Flock and Gather. I'm Alan Scher. I run the Spa Industry Association, but I have much more fun talking to my friends. And today I have a very dear friend, Deborah Locker, all the way from Louisville, Kentucky. Hello, Deborah.
Hi, Alan. How are you?
Although, you know, with Zoom, doesn't it? Well, Zoom, Skype, whatever you want to use. But I say Louisville, even though I'm in Arizona, but you're sitting there and it's like you could be in the office next door and we could still be talking to each other on Zoom. And I know that happens.
I know. I've seen more people since COVID started than I've seen in years.
It's funny. You're like the second person to say that to me because we all recognize that there's this new flexing or whatever you want to call it, right? As I'm fond of saying, there is no outside the box anymore. There is no box, right? People are trying different things and doing different things and everyone finds what works for them. And I have my list of people that I talk to every day and I'm going, God, I've been talking and Skyping more with people now. It feels like I'm working harder now too.
Yeah. Yes.
Right.
Definitely working harder.
But people thought this was going to be like time off, but it didn't turn out to be that, did it?
Mm-hmm. No, I don't know anyone that's had time off. I mean, except for people, unfortunately, who have been laid off or furloughed. No, I think we're all working harder. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I think what, you know, when I talk about around the industry and I talk about what people are doing, what I noticed is, I mean, I'm talking to a lot of spa directors too, right? And all of a sudden that job of spa director means, oh, I not only have to organize my office and deal with timesheets and order inventory, but I have to square retail away outside and help at the front desk. And I have to clean sanitize treatment rooms and deliver food. And it's like, none of that is written into anyone's job description, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, who has a job description anymore? You know, I mean, you and I do our own IT, we do our own HR, you know, I mean, we're all doing everything at this point.
If someone said to me, Alan, send me your resume, I would go, what resume?
Like what resume? You can look at my LinkedIn. That tells you a portion of it.
Yeah, isn't LinkedIn sort of your resume this morning?
Yes,
right?
Absolutely.
This morning, uh-huh. Today. I mean, that's where I think for most people, and people yesterday, someone said to me, oh man, I never see you on Facebook. I go, because you're looking at my personal page and I'm on the business page, right?
Yeah.
You go to the business page, I use it. I pay zero attention to my personal page. So for all you people who are always trying to track me down, go to Spa Industry Association and find me because I don't spend any time. Kathy, I hear Kathy telling me, Alan didn't respond to a message I sent him on Facebook. She goes, yeah, you're in the wrong Facebook page for him. Besides, I live by Facebook as well. I mean, LinkedIn as well, right?
I love LinkedIn. It's my favorite. It's so useful. And then I love Instagram because it's, you know, really, really pretty. Facebook, I don't love as much as I used to. I think it's become way too political. Facebook, I think.
Oh, politics? Is there an election this year? I didn't know this.
Along with all the other things that are going on, yes, there's an election. So yes.
I think, I can't remember. I think I was doing a podcast with, it must have been Joanna Roche from Greenspa Network. And we were both commenting on the fact how we've had to watch so many less ads today because the political cycle is so short. It's like we all, I don't care if you're a lefty or a righty, I kind of like the short election cycle, right?
Yes, I agree.
Of course, elections is 24/7 these days anyway, so you never really.
And who watches live TV now?
No, I actually, nobody that I'm aware of.
Right. I was watching some breaking news on one of the local stations here. I used to be a journalist, and so I really appreciate local television. And so, you know, I was on it and then there were all these commercials. I'm like, oh my gosh, I haven't seen a commercial in months because it's either Netflix or Hulu or online.
And didn't you find out you literally had zero patience for waiting for the commercial to end?
Where are you? What can I do you for? Yes, none, no patience.
So Kathy and I cut the cable a few years back and we buy internet, but then we have a subscription. We bought some Roku boxes. We have a subscription to YouTube TV. So I love YouTube TV because it's literally endless taping of whatever you want. You just go back and catch it. And there's so few things I actually think you need to watch live today that I have to imagine the whole wait, this is leading into PR too. The whole cycle of watching TV and watching commercial advertising, who watches commercial advertising, right? That's my point. And so now I'd rather tape something and zip through it in an hour than I would wait and watch it live.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Sports, I still watch live when I can, you know, now that we have sports back.
We do have sports.
There was, I agree. I don't want
there was live. Football. Did you notice last week?
I did. The noise that they're pumping in is very odd. I would imagine it's incredibly hard as a player to be out there without fans, but they're trying. And I mean, we all needed to see something in the sports world.
Right. So I went over to the boys last night across the street and we had a cocktail and watched the Cleveland Cincy game, but I didn't hear until this morning, there was actually a fist fight in the stands at the game. And I'm thinking, I think they only said they were going to let 6,000 people in a stadium of 50,000. How's there a fist fight? There's nothing to fight about. You know?
They all had like their own row. Yeah, no one should be fighting.
Yeah, you're not even close enough to be able to have a fist fight with somebody. So, but I think the noise is weird too. And I'm guessing, I've never been, but if I was a professional football player, it would sort of like being at practice, right? Like a preseason game. And I mean, who the heck watches preseason anyways? But
yes,
everything in due course, we'll see what happens, you know? So Deb, you know, I love your world. How many years have you been in public relations, PR now?
Well, that's such a timely question. I just had my 12th anniversary with Deborah Locker Group yesterday. And then 7 years prior to that, I worked for the International Spa Association. So I've been in PR for 19 years. And then I did journalism before that. I'm a lot older than I look, thanks to all the great spa products that I get to use.
I know your 35th birthday is coming up pretty quick.
Definitely.
I'll have to remember. Just keep shaking that blonde hair and being a Southern belle and everything will be. Wait, is Louisville South? Are you guys South?
We are called the most Southern Northern City and the most Northern Southern City. So we're actually kind of Midwest.
Wait, did the Mason-Dixon line go through Kentucky? I can't remember now.
It does.
Mm-hmm. It does, right? Okay, all the way. Okay. Mm-hmm. To me, everything about PR, I love it because even when I was running New Life and Lotus Touch, we used to hire PR people because you can't do it yourself. You know, there's an expertise to what you do that I'm wondering if people really, if someone had no clue and said, Deb, what is PR? What's the response to that anyways?
Well, PR is what you get journalists to say about you. So it's not an ad. You know, you're not paying to place an ad. It's not your words. You know, you're going to hopefully send out the right message and give the right interview. However, it's ultimately up to the journalist to say it. So it's very much a third party endorsement is how I really like to explain it. And when you have those great articles and, you know, supporting, you know, whatever product, award for a product, that's an amazing endorsement for you to use that you did not pay for. I mean, there is now pay to play sorts of that kind of fall into the PR realm to manage. As a rule, I don't do any of those. I believe in just actual true editorial. However, you know, that is an option now that wasn't in the past that if you do want to control it, you know, it's kind of like an ad, but it looks like an editorial.
Yeah. I know you well enough to know you're picky about your clients. And so how do you choose these days? Like let's talk pre COVID virus before we talk about it now, but what did it used to look like? How is a client interesting to you and what do they have to be a good client to a PR firm?
Oh my goodness, that is an excellent question, Alan. You know, looking back 12 years ago, I was fortunate to start with a couple of amazing ladies who are still in the spa industry, Celeste Hilling with Skin Authority, and then Mindy Terry, who at that time was a consultant. And those were my first two clients. And I mean, wow, how lucky, they're both incredible women. That was an amazing start. And for a long time, I was like, you know, gosh, this is so easy. Wow. You know, PR is easy and owning my own business is easy. And then I started branching out into other people that weren't quite as amazing. And you really learn a lot about who you will work with, so what you will accept. Some of that comes with age, obviously, too.
Experience.
Yes, but I turn down more clients than I take. You know, if you're not ready, like if your messaging is not ready, your marketing's not ready, your website's not ready, then let's get those things ready and then call me afterwards. Or I can assist you in, you know, connecting with you with people. That's not what I do. I need to have your look ready that I can send to any journalist that I want to send it to. And then you have to be ready too, because it takes a lot of time. You're going to have to talk to me a lot. You're going to have to email with me with a lot. If I don't know your industry, I will need to become versed in it. And that takes a while. Luckily, I definitely have a niche in spa and beauty and lifestyle and wellness. And that's by design. I love all those industries and I love the people in them, but I know all those, the journalists. So it just, it makes everything much easier than to say, if I went into like the restaurant industry, which I really don't have those contacts. So does that kind of answer your question? Kind of?
Yeah, and actually you said, I'm going to repeat a few of these things because I think they're so critical. Third party endorsement. It's one thing for you to say, I'm the best at making pens. It's something completely different when other people go, nobody makes pens like they do.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
I love that. Third, that's a great way of explaining it. Cause I think my impression always has been that people will go, oh, PR, good. Like hire her and tomorrow the phone will ring some more. But it doesn't really work that way.
No, it doesn't. It's a very strategic process. If you think you can approach it quickly, you're wrong, and you need to know that, and maybe you need to go more an editorial route and buy ads. No, PR takes a while, and you have to be comfortable with your PR person enough to tell them things. They actually really need to know everything that you know about your company so that they can be looking out for things and be aware of something that could be a potential hot button. But again, with that, it takes time. Right. Yes. And
it's true. And we have no time. People's have this idiot Twitter mentality about now, right now, this second, quick. I want to hear it moving. Oh, look, squirrel, shiny object. I'm gone. I mean, it's just unbelievable how we talked about it. I don't watch ads. I have no patience anymore. Right.
Right.
Okay. The second thing you mentioned, because we are in this relationship-based business, I wrote down both Celeste and Mindy. So now that you mentioned them and my ears are burning, I'm going to have to call both of them today. The third thing is you talked about owning your own business. I have to share, this is an old story. When I started my first company, I had a really successful lawyer friend and he gave me a lithograph and it showed a guy in a rowboat cresting a massive wave and the skies were storming down and the lightning was crashing and one of his oars was broken and the boat was surrounded by sharks.
Of course it was.
The caption on the bottom said, it was from Anonymous, I always wanted to own my own business. Mm-hmm. And I don't think people understand what it takes and why you get up early and you grind all day and you get up and you grind. Tomorrow, there's something very, the feeling of owning your own business. What's the expression? The worst day working for yourself is still better than the best day working for someone else. Not always true, I can tell you from 32 years of being in our industry, but I like being my own boss. It's not for everyone, but I know it works for you. It works for me, but people should remember that when they think about owning their own business. Lastly, and I'm going back to the beginning, so we're going full circle. It takes time. You know, when you hire PR, you've got to be patient and let the cycle of information gin itself up and come around to other people recognizing who you are. And you've done such an amazing job doing it. Okay, that was pre-China virus. Now we're in the China virus. What does it look like now? How's the PR work? Because we're not going to trade shows. We're not running ads in magazines. What? Talk to me.
Another excellent question. It's obviously all virtual. And I'll give you an example. Color Up, which is one of my clients. They're a CBD-based brand out of Denver. Great, great, great products. They just launched three new products. Typically, for three new products, you would actually go to New York and you would do lots of desk side meetings. You would have some events, some lunches, some breakfast. you would spend probably 3 or 4 days, thousands of dollars, thousands and thousands. And it would have been, you know, 5 or 6 of us that would have gone. And instead of that, we did 2 Zoom calls. We had 40 editors and writers via 2 Zoom calls. We spent maybe $750. And that included shipping the products themselves. And then we had these amazing custom cookies made that went in the packages. Everyone was able to do it from the leisure of their home. We had 4 people from ColorUp on there. They were all on there individually and talking. And it was amazing, one, to be able to do that instantly. And for me to look at the screen and see all those faces of editors and stuff that I love on the screen with the people from ColorUp that I love. It was just a really lovely, lovely juxtaposition for me. And then it was so cool for all the people from ColorUp to get to meet them as well. And that would have just been so difficult to pull off face-to-face. And again, incredibly expensive to pull off face-to-face.
Okay. What does desk side meetings mean?
Sure. Yeah. A desk side is typically done in New York, and it's when you go and you meet with an editor from Vogue magazine. So you actually do go to their office, which is an incredible experience to be in a major magazine's office, especially if it's one that you've always loved, which I've always loved Vogue. And, you know, they're all right there, all the editors and the writers, and they're in their desk. And sometimes you meet in a conference room. Sometimes you meet out in the lobby. There's usually a lot of security to get in there. You have to have a meeting. You don't just waltz in. So it's very, very cool. And it's definitely effective. I've never done a media trip to New York without it being effective. However, I was just able to do the whole thing without going to New York. Wow. And with more people. And it was also fun. Obviously, a lot of the editors and writers know one another. So they were, you know, like, hi, blah, blah, blah. So it was like a party, essentially.
And this is another reason people would hire you, because you have those connections. If Alan Scher tried to start calling 40 magazines, they're going to go, what? Go away, right? Because I don't have the connections. That's part of being a seasoned 39-year-old Deborah Locker Group president. Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you know what you said, though, that I like more than anything? You put in custom cookies. I know if it's stuck in my mind, it's stuck in other people's minds as well. When we started way back when New Life Systems, I love peanuts. I used to buy the bags of peanuts. I just do. I used to snack on them, good protein. And I think my wife, Kathy, said, we should send peanuts in boxes. So I dug around, found we could buy those small bags of peanuts by the thousands. We had little pieces of paper made that said, we're nuts for your business, thank you. And we used to staple the peanut bag to the paper, and the warehouse would throw them in the boxes. Did you know that we used to get a ton of calls in at the time? They used to say, I'm going to place another order, but could you throw more bags of peanuts in the box?
That's cute.
Custom cookies. I love it.
Funny story about the cookies. We had them made in California. Obviously, I'm in Kentucky. ColorUp is in Denver. So it was, you know, involved a lot of people. But we wanted to have CBD put in the cookies, which not every baker is allowed to do that. So we did have to find a baker that could. And then we had to find one that was good enough to make them look the way we wanted them to look, which they made the ColorUp logo, which is very colorful. And then they also made little spa girls and spa guys. So they had a cute little jelly mask, not a mask on their faces. And their hair was all up and a little robe on. And we matched. Each girl got a girl, each guy got a guy, the blonde girls got a blonde girl. It was very, very specific and customized. But those were what people showed on Instagram. That's what they showed on Facebook. And again, that's what we got all the comments on too. It's like, oh yeah, your products are great, but gosh, this cookie's fantastic.
Send me another dozen cookies, right?
And I never even got to try a cookie.
Oh no, not right?
No. And the girl, we saw her on Instagram and just saw how amazing her work was. And she was a doll to work with. And So I never tried one, but everyone said they were great.
Deborah Locker, you are the best in the business. Can people find you at DeborahLockerGroup.com, or what is it exactly?
It's DeborahLockerGroup.com, and it's actually a new website. I launched it right before COVID. And it's much more representative of my brand than 12 years ago when I built that first website.
And it's D-E-B-R-A, DeborahLockerGroup.com. Okay. Deborah, I'm so good. And it's Friday. I love that you could spend time with me on Friday, even though I have 6 more calls set up for today. But still,
it was the best
part
of my week, Alan. Thank you.
I love being with you. Thank you a ton. I hope you have an awesome weekend.
Thank you so much, Alan.
You are so welcome. And people, please remember, be kind to one another. Have a great day.
Please.
Bye, Deborah.
Goodbye.
Hey, everybody. Thanks again for joining us for another Flock and Gather podcast. Please go check out our guest's website today at DeborahLockerGroup.com, DeborahLockerGroup.com. Thanks, and we'll see you next time.